Even if you put aside the global pandemic, the fight over a rescue bill for the U.S. economy, and everything else, it's still a pretty astonishing story that President Trump has coronavirus, and so do so many people in his inner circle, including his campaign manager, his press secretary, and his wife, the First Lady. It's something that's never happened before in any White House. Former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta joins us now. He served in that role for President Clinton. He was also director of the CIA and later Secretary of Defense under former President Obama. Secretary Panetta, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, and the president says he wants to hold rallies as soon as this weekend. He won't say whether he has yet tested negative for the coronavirus. What do you make of all of this?
Well, it's cause for concern because when the president of the United States gets ill is incapacitated by something as serious as COVID-19. It raises national security issues, and it also raises concern about the confidence of the American people in whether or not the duties and responsibilities of the presidency are being carried out. And right now, the danger is that because of the lack of credible information about the status of the president as to whether or not he is negative or he still remains positive with COVID-19, the failure to kind of provide full information about just exactly how serious this illness is, and then to have him decide he's going to jump back into the campaign trail without providing any of that information, I think that's just going to further harm confidence in the ability of this president to do the job.
Well, what would you be doing if you were chief of staff right now? Because obviously the White House is concerned about getting information out there that may make the president look weak. The doctors wouldn't tell anyone what his chest x-rays said, for example. They wouldn't say exactly what his fever was.
Well, you know, we've been through this, certainly with Ronald Reagan, who was shot and but was willing to be cared for, and they provided full information about his status at the time. And he was willing to remain cared for until he was well enough to be able to assume the responsibilities of the presidency. Look, what should happen here? First and foremost, the president should be cared for and get well. And, the attitude has been they rushed him to Walter Reed instead of staying there and getting well and losing his contagiousness, he jumped right back in the White House and said everything's fine and he's been cured. He ought to be cared for. He ought to get well so that he can resume his duties. Secondly, there ought to be a command structure that is established around the president to implement the duties and responsibilities of the president. This has been pretty hit and miss, and what they should do, the chief of staff, key members of the cabinet, national security advisor, is provide a command structure that makes clear to the American people the duties of the presidency are being fulfilled. And lastly, there ought to be briefings to the public. When a president gets ill, that is not a private matter. It's a public matter. And it's important to provide briefings on the status of the president. And instead of doing that, they're kind of doing hit and miss, sending letters out, not providing a full range of information as to the status of the presidency. And that creates a lot of distrust about just exactly what's happening with this president. So there's a way to do this, and the way is to try to restore confidence, public confidence in the president and in the White House and their ability to carry out the duties and responsibilities that they're assigned.
Well, speaking of the command structure, all of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have had to quarantine at home after contact last week with an admiral who later tested positive. A Pentagon spokesman said this has not affected the operational readiness of the armed forces. But was it too risky for all of these members of the Joint Chiefs to be in one meeting together during a pandemic?
Well, again, when you have the president ill, when you have some 27 members of the White House staff ill, when you have his campaign people ill, when you suddenly have members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff falling ill as well, that creates a kind of scary moment for whether or not the United States of America has the leadership in place that is necessary in order to protect our security. I'm sure that they are communicating with one another. I'm sure that they're continuing to do their responsibilities. But it's a moment, frankly, where the chief of staff has to show that there is a structure in place to be able to deal with the issues and concerns facing this country, and that the business of the nation is being done, despite the fact that there are these people that are impacted, that there's a communication system, that there's a staff system that's been set up in order to deal with the problems facing the country. None of that has been provided to the public. So here we are, you know, listening to members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff falling ill, members of the White House staff falling ill. There's no pattern for tracing just exactly what happened here and how they're being cared for. The White House is half empty as a result of that. Who's on the job of doing the nation's business? That's the fundamental question.
The president has tweeted a lot in the last week, and one of his tweets may have gotten lost, but it's quite important. He said that all U.S. troops should be home from Afghanistan by Christmas, which is a faster timeline than earlier plans. There are more than 8,000 troops there now. Is that feasible, do you think, and is it a good idea?
Well, you know, again, it's obviously the way this president does business, which is to do hundreds of tweets about different things, kind of reflecting his own judgment and not, frankly, the best judgment of his staff, of his military advisors, of his State Department advisors, all of whom have made clear that the United States ought to not remove our troops from Afghanistan unless there are firm conditions in place that the Taliban is going to abide by. That's what they said. It was the right thing to say. And here's the president saying, no, to hell with it. We're going to bring the troops home by Christmas no matter what. It's a terrible signal that was sent to the Taliban. And they were very happy to hear the president say that because it basically meant they don't have to negotiate a damn thing. That's not the way business should be done, particularly with regards to national security issues.
Secretary Panetta, I want to ask you one more thing, and it's kind of a big question, which is that a lot of Democrats are looking to this election like it's going to change everything if President Trump loses. Do you think that that is the case, or do you think that this country is going to remain just as divided the day after, no matter what happens?
We're facing a lot of problems in this country, a lot of crises. Obviously, the pandemic, a recession, concerns about racial equality, the whole issue of the integrity of the election, and concerns about whether our democracy can function. I mean, we've had a largely dysfunctional Washington between the president and the Congress, both parties, the inability to develop the aid that's necessary to deal with COVID-19, the inability to deal with a number of important issues facing the country. And so there's a lot of distrust. There's a lot of polarization in the country. None of that is going away the day after the election. None of that. And a new president, should there be a new president, will have to confront that, and so will the political leadership of this country have to confront that. Is this going to be a time of suddenly dramatic change? No. It's going to be a time when people are really going to have to roll up their sleeves and try to make sure that our democracy can function.
That is Leon Panetta, former Secretary of Defense, former CIA Director, former White House Chief of Staff. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And by the way, big picture on the coronavirus, more than 56,000 new cases in the U.S. yesterday, more than 900 new deaths. The worst hotspots for new cases, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin.